What's up, everybody? Welcome to yet another edition of Blind Tag Podcast. This time we're up to number 7. I'm here in the studio again with my friend,
Brad.
Sup, Brad? We're going to be talking about the past 2 weeks worth of wrestling, covering Raw and SmackDown. This is a fallout of Vengeance. Has WWE been doing a good job? I guess we'll find out. First off, before we get knee-deep into the WWE and what they've been doing for the past 2 weeks, we have exciting news because we have got a winner for our first ever competition.
Yay!
We have actually had a lot more emails than I thought we were going to get for this.
How many did you think?
I thought we were going to get barely anything, and we got nothing. No, that's not true. We got some feedback, so that's really great. We picked one guy out at random. So congratulations go to Marcus.
Hey, Marcus!
Hey, son!
You get that? Well done. That's a really, really kind of underground reference.
Yeah.
Mega64.com, if you don't know.
Download the podcast.
So well done to Marcus Emmanuel for winning our first ever competition. Brad's clapping. You probably can't hear it.
We should have applause sound effects.
The answer, of course, to the question, which was, who portrayed the gobbledygooker at the first ever Survivor Series was?
Hector Guerrero.
And that question was chosen out by our very own Bradley Nixon.
The Psychopedia of Wrestling.
Psychopedia?
Shut up.
Okay. Anyway, congrats, man. I'm going to pick out your t-shirt right now at random. Brad, do you want to talk to people just briefly as I do so?
I will talk to the people as you pick out a t-shirt.
I've got one.
Oh, which is great.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
You have won a Team Bring It t-shirt.
Ooh.
The Rock's Great Britain Team Bring It t-shirt. So congratulations. Well done, Marcus.
So now you got to represent the Rock at WrestleMania.
I see. You're the first ever winner for our first ever competition.
And hopefully not the last.
Stay tuned, because we will have another competition. We've got a few more shirts to give away, so we'll be announcing details about that at the end of the show, just like last week, and also on the website at blindtagpodcast.com. Without a doubt, we'll be talking about it on Twitter as well, where you can hit us up at blindtagpodcast, or just email in at blindtagpodcast@gmail.com. We want to hear from you guys.
Tell us what you think all the time, guys. You know, wrestling is 24/7.
Let's start a little bit of a wrestling community around Blind Tag Podcast. We want to talk to you guys. We want to hear from you guys, okay?
Do this.
Let's do it. So if you guys agree or disagree with any of our thoughts about these shows, let us know. If you want to get involved in the shows in the future and have your tweets or emails read out, you got to get in contact with us, and we will incorporate you guys into the show.
You're all part of the show.
Exactly. So without further ado, let's jump into our wrestling roundup.
Let's do this.
Awesome. So we're starting off with the first Raw after Vengeance. This happened on the 24th of October.
Go back in time, guys, like we always do.
All right, cool. That was a fast time warp. And once again, who do we have starting the show? Can you guess?
I think, if I can remember.
Look into your magic eight ball. No, that's your penis. Look into.
Stop
looking at your crotch.
I can't.
Well, stop it.
Refresh my memory.
It's really awkward. Triple H starts the show, of
course.
There's
nothing
different
there. You know, hold down the roster.
Yeah, exactly. Trips, the whole show revolves around me, H.
The gamer.
I mean, he's no longer COO, on screen at least. So can they at least admit that he's obviously a full-time wrestler again?
No, because he's still COO.
It's just a bit ridiculous, though, isn't it? Because he's quite clearly exactly what I just said. He's no longer COO on screen. He's clearly full-time.
Well, you know, he's probably going to have, like, an Undertaker feeling around him. He'll probably go away for a while. Nash will appear on telly and have some terrible, terrible matches.
I mean, I will say one thing for him. I mean, it sounds like he's really over with the crowd on this show.
Exactly.
I mean, that's just it, though. I mean, like, you know that if we were to see Raw, aren't they over here right now in the UK?
Yeah, this Monday and Tuesday are tapings.
I was going to say fucking Sheffield. It's not Sheffield.
Liverpool.
Because
in the adverts, it's all about the Beatles.
What the fuck are you doing? That's it. That's Liverpool, right?
What was that?
It's all throaty. Huh? That was
like
it.
Got some phlegm.
Yeah, that's how they talk.
Scottish.
No, Liverpool. Like Liverpool. They say fucking like fuck.
It's Liverpool. That's
fuck.
Let's talk about wrestling, not about accents.
You know what? Fuck you.
Okay, you that's Scottish bastard.
All right. Yeah, he sounds big. He sounds... Shut up. He sounds big with the crowd. Like, he sounds really over with them. And I was just saying, like, even if they were over here, you know, we'd probably pop for him, too.
Yeah, well, he's always been the cool bad guy to cheer for, weren't he, back in the day?
he's not a bad guy right now. He's a big-time babyface.
Oh, he's the Hogan at the moment.
I remember when he first turned heel, I was such a huge fan of him.
Oh, I loved
him. Awesome.
Yeah, everyone used to say, who's your favorite wrestler? And you used to say Triple H. You get this weird look. You know, it's like, why not Stone Cold?
Well, that's because like, when he first turned heel, we were 13.
About that.
It was, I mean, that's the prime age to be a mark, big-time face lover. But, you know, I mean, Brad as well, just like me, we've always had an interest in the heels more so than the goody two-shoes.
They're always more interesting to watch.
Do you hear that, ladies? We like the bad boys. Ooh. Wait, we like the bad boys, or we are like bad boys?
We like the bad boys.
We like the bad boys.
We're liking them.
There we go. Anyway, he kicks off, and he's obviously doing his promo shit and stuff like that, and he's mentioning kind of interesting stuff, like breaking kayfabe even more. He talks about the Click a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, he mentions them all by name, like Shawn Waltman, Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash, he mentions Scott Hall.
The fourth wall, break it down. Triple H likes to break down the fourth wall, don't he?
He likes to break it down.
Right.
And you know, he's basically talking like, what's more important, money or friends? And you know, that whole idea that you get in the business and you either make money or you make friends.
They can't see me doing this, but this is Triple H, the money man himself. Come on, like, it was all about money for Triple H. That's why he married Vince's daughter.
Well, they're in love.
Yeah, sorry.
They love each other. They have a couple of little H's.
H's!
Yeah. Lowercase H's.
Okay, she's got three of them.
Is there three now?
I think there's three. Jeez, I can't remember.
She's spitting them out, isn't she?
Yeah, well, I would like to see if they're all triples.
What? What the fuck? What does that even mean?
They're all hunters.
What?
They might not be hunters' kids. There's three of them. And she's spitting them out like nobody's business. And if the rumors are true.
Hey, that's the boss's daughter you're talking about.
No,
he pays our checks.
No, he doesn't.
He pays my check. I just don't tell you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
There you go.
That's why we're always about WWE on here.
That's right. But yeah, I just thought it was a pretty interesting. You're right. I mean, Triple H is obviously a good businessman as well when it comes to
that's why he's still going
business.
At his age, you know.
Well, I mean, people were excited at first as well when he legitimately stepped up into power.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Vince is still there too, but I mean, it's the idea of. Triple H is more in touch with people now than Vince is.
He's a wrestling man, Triple H. He's not an entertainer. He's a wrestling
man. Well, it's pushed as well by the fact that he allowed, encouraged, and gave time to the CM Punk stuff over the summer. You know? And that really highlights that. Lots of people seem to recognize the Wolfpack symbol. You know,
the
little kiss thing that
there
they
we
do.
Go.
But I'm surprised by that because... Looking around at the crowd, there seemed to be a lot of kids and stuff like that. I mean, they wouldn't know who the Wolfpack are.
I think you find a lot of parents take their kids to wrestling, and a lot of the parents have watched it, and they educate them. Because I know parents who educate their kids in wrestling. You know, they make them watch the old stuff.
Other parents make their kids go to school.
Yeah, you know, the bad parents make them watch wrestling.
Yeah, that's right.
This is Stone Cold. He drinks beer.
Say, I need to learn about history. Fuck you, this is history.
Hogan!
That's it. But, yeah, I mean, I just thought it was pretty interesting because I don't know if people were cheering just for the sake of cheering. You know, that kind of like, woo, that's something I don't really understand.
Well, the thing is, a lot of people see that and then they think Sean and X-Pac's all going to walk out and, you know, you hear all the rumors. Oh, Sean's going to be there.
Tim would fucking burst a load if X-Pac came back.
Well, everyone knows X-Pac has got that unofficial role. He helps out. You know, he's been down to FCW a few times to scout some guys.
How about this as a statement? Kevin Nash broke my heart.
Gay.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
You know.
I'm going to get a lot of complaints about that comment.
Oh, God. All right, yes. So
let's try this again. Wait, take two. What do you think when Triple H said, Kevin Nash, you broke my heart?
I thought, really? It's pretty a bad thing to say in the sense of you're meant to be tough wrestlers. You know,
right.
And I think in theory, Kevin Nash has probably broken Triple H's heart many of times.
He's trying to add an emotional aspect to their story. And obviously, they're playing with the fact they've been friends for like 20 fucking years.
Yeah, but why has he broke his heart now? Why didn't he break his heart when,
Because Triple H thought he could trust them. And now he's hitting him in the head with sledgehammers and stuff.
Yeah, but, you know, all this stuff's been happening way before that. You know,
Kevin Nash onto him. Yeah, well, yeah.
You know, why now?
Well, that's what Kevin Nash is doing. I mean, I think that's pretty interesting. He's taking to Twitter and stuff like that to say, like, hey, how am I the bad guy? Like, Triple H knocked me out with the sledgehammer at one of the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is true. Depends on how you look at it.
Typical faces getting away with heel actions.
Exactly. Well, it's that concept, isn't it, of there is no good or bad. It's only perception, you know? So I can see why Kevin Nash would want revenge in this case, but he's going a little bit OTT in the story, isn't he? And that's why he's the heel of the group of the two.
Well,
he's taking it above and beyond.
I think Kevin Nash plays a good monster heel to put. I know he's
he can barely move.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's all he's got to do. He's just got to lay him out big time, and you know, Nash is back over as a heel.
Yeah. Anyway, Nash then smashes Triple H in the back with a sledgehammer, like when he's up the ramp, I think.
Yeah, when after John Laurinaitis comes down to the ring, tells him Nash is not here. You know, more of the conspiracy.
Exactly. And then you got the whole thing later on with you're backstage and Kevin Nash, you know, they're trying to wheel him to the ambulance, and Kevin Nash says, "Hey, where are you going with my buddy?"
Yeah,
where
I
going
like
with my
that.
Buddy?
I like that, you know, the whole sarcastic kind of, who is still my friend?
FYI, just before that happened, I wrote this little note down. I don't know why. I just thought it was funny because you could hear a tech guy yelling, "Reset, reset," as we go to replay, which, you know, within the TV terms means they're going back to,
yeah,
they're resetting to start. I love it when little stuff like that gets through so you can see how it works as a TV show.
You can see running, you know, there's been times when you've heard things like that or you the cameras.
My favorite is when I watched an episode of SmackDown one time. I streamed part of it on the internet, and you could hear Michael Cole and Taz talking to each other during the commercial break.
I remember that, yeah.
I thought it was really cool. Just stuff like that. But yeah, he goes, "Where are you going with my buddy?" He grabs Triple H. Everyone just backs off and lets it happen. Like,
yeah,
nobody tries to stop him.
They were like, "We don't need to be here."
Yeah, like, "I don't want none of this. I want to help people and save people's lives. I work for the hospital, but I'm not getting involved here.
Screw this.
It's stupid." And then, you know, he just clocked him with the sledgehammer again to the face. It looked pretty brutal, actually.
When you say that, you know, I know they do it to protect the guys, you know. They're not actually going to use metal to face. Nash's hand was right over the hammer.
Yeah.
You know, and I know it sounds stupid and quite a little picky thing for me to pick out, but you see it and you kind of think...
That's how it's been done for years. That's how Trips
I know,
to do
but
too.
Sometimes Triple H was quite clever how he does it. He kind of, his hand doesn't go up until right at the end. Mm. You know, Nash's hand was over it. Then bang, you're kind of thinking, well, that's just a punch.
Nash and Trips are not going to put on a good match together.
No, that's why I think they're going to use other people.
Yeah. It's going to be some sort of hardcore match, you know? I don't think, apparently, from what I've heard, this isn't going to happen in a Survivor Series. Apparently, they're going to stay with the storyline injury of Trips and push their match to TLC.
Well, you got to think about it. What would you rather have? Two big matches? Because it's still a big match.
They want nothing to take away from The Rock and
it's pay-per-view buys for the next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Because Nash and Triple H, sadly, in this day and age, can still sell pay-per-views.
Nostalgia factor, I guess.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what bothered me about this section here. Not only did it eat up a lot of time, like, this is an hour and a half show, and I swear all this Triple H, Kevin Nash stuff took up the better part of a half hour.
It did.
But they showed a lot of replays of shit that we've literally just watched. I hate when they do that.
The thing is, you got to remember, you know, in America, because of the whole rating system, it doesn't matter where people drop into it. I think, is it the beginning of the
everybody needs to see. That's the reset. Whenever they go to a commercial, they come back and they reset and they show what's just happened, usually. Or they go to reset to reintroduce concept. Even on commentary, they will reset and reintroduce what's happened and what's coming up.
Well, the thing is, you've got Monday Night Football at the moment out in the States.
Right.
So a lot of people will watch a game and then they'll flick over to WWE. So they're always resetting, trying to draw in the viewers. Because I think it's their second beginning of their second hour is where their peak comes.
Yeah.
So
it makes sense, I guess, but at the same time, for someone who's just trying to watch it and has started since the beginning of the show, it's really fucking frustrating because it's taking away wrestling time, it's taking away promo time, it's taking away everything for Kevin Nash and Trips.
Yeah, but what else? How else are they going to build the story? That's the only thing. You're not going to have Kevin Nash in the ring, are you?
No. Let's push on to the first match of the night, and it's Sheamus versus Cody Rhodes.
First match.
Good match. And I swear it's about a half hour, 40 minutes in, something like that. I might be completely wrong, but that's what it felt like.
It was definitely about half an hour.
I mean, there are a few highlights to this. Like, there was a huge back body drop from Sheamus onto Cody, stuff like that. I'm a little bit disappointed because I guess that the feud between Orton and Cody, which is pretty good, and the feud between Sheamus and Christian, which, as we all know, I think is pretty bad, isn't over just yet.
Well, the thing is, you know, everyone was saying, "No, there's not going to be a Survivor Series match," and at the moment, none of these guys are booked for Survivor Series. So I think this is going to be the main.
I mean, don't forget, this was actually like a tag match as well.
Yeah,
yeah. That's why I forgot to mention the start. So apologies about that. Is Sheamus and
Randy versus Christian and Cody?
Yeah. So I mean, This is the type of match that you get just before a pay-per-view to get everybody involved before the blow-off.
And they're not meant to touch their opponents, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. I think it's a little bit weird that they didn't really mention the history that exists now between Christian and Orton that happened all summer long between them. They were this main SmackDown feud.
What was that? I can't remember. Refresh my memory. What happened?
Yeah, I know, right? Happened fucking ages. There's some good moments in it, like good story moments. And I love the fact that Christian won the belt by spitting at Orton and causing him to
lose
it. One
of the greatest title changes ever.
I thought it was smart. But, you know, I just don't think there's any need for them to wrestle anymore in any sort of capacity. So I don't know why they're doing that, let alone why they would have a program all summer long and now just pretend like they've never really faced each other.
It's WWE doing what they do best.
Yeah.
Telling you how it goes.
I mean, at least the crowd enjoyed it. I mean, they were quite lively throughout.
Well, especially with, like, you know, you got Sheamus, who's really doing well as a face, and Cody, who's doing really well as a heel. You know,
had
three really good wrestlers in there. You have Randy, you know, who's just coasting at the moment. I think.
Yeah, he's at the top, and he's getting lazy. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest way to put it.
I mean, Stone Cold was like that as well at one point. I remember watching Stone Cold matches, and they were the same after a while, because he was the top, and he didn't want to... Or he didn't have to do it anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, either way, I thought this was a solid match. Good performances from old men. Had a few good spots. Missing the bro kick.
Yeah.
That led into Cody's beautiful disaster. And then a spear by Christian was a particularly good spot. And
Not
involving Randy. There's a predictable face win, but, you know, it was a good match nonetheless.
To a point, you know, it doesn't matter who won that match. I think it was just keeping these characters going, because at the end of the day...
Booking-wise, it didn't make sense to me, though, because of exactly what we're just talking about.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I thought they were done at Vengeance, so why, the very next night, are they still feuding together?
Because WWE doesn't have anything for these guys at the moment. Mm. And the only way to keep them in the limelight is making sure they all are fighting each other.
So I have to say on that match.
Finished. Next.
Next bit was the backstage segment with Cena. And I'm not a big Cena fan, but I do find him to have quite a bit of charisma. And he showed it here when he came in and he called Otunga out, calling him Carlton from Fresh Prince.
That was good.
That was funny. I did think that was funny.
He is very witty.
And then he gave Zack Ryder a shout out as well, mentioning his show, which is good for Zack Ryder.
Yeah, follow him on Twitter.
That's it. Outside of that, I mean, it's just Cena being Cena.
Laryngitis being laryngitis.
Yeah. Nothing else to mention there.
Who was your laryngitis?
Penitent man.
Penitent man.
Penitent man. Moving on to the next match now. Santino comes out, and it's good to see Santino back.
Bit of weight on him.
A little bit, and hair.
Well, that's healthy.
It's a shame that he's still wrestling identical matches each week, though. Like, he's guilty of this as well.
But the thing is with Santino...
He wrestles the same comedy match.
But the thing is, I don't think you can put that on Santino. They know what works for him. They go to him, Santino, 3 minutes, do the normal stuff, put the guy over.
The weirdest thing about this match is when Mason Ryan comes out.
Mm.
And, like, how does that dude even move?
Well, he uses his legs.
No, but, like, he looks so big. Like, he literally looks...
There's too much muscle.
He looks like he'd have trouble wiping. That's all I'm saying. Looks like he'd have trouble reaching back there and wiping.
I bet he does. I bet his mummy goes on the road with him and wipes.
Is that what you think?
Yeah, she flies all the way over from Wales. You know, travels
very
around.
Close in Wales.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, there's just super generic rock music from Mason Ryan as a theme song, which I always hate. I really liked it when Dan O'Brien was first getting his little push and he made fun of the rock music that they gave him.
Yeah.
That was good. Of course, miss somebody like Mason
Ryan.
Thing
is, can you get behind Mason Ryan? No, honestly, think about it. Can
Batista. The problem is, I think his accent's going to hold him back.
Yeah.
He's got a ridiculous body type.
Well, the kids are going to love him, because, you know, the kids...
He's an absolute comic book superhero, isn't he?
Yeah.
Brought to life.
You know.
But, I mean, like, if he talks and he's all like, boyo!
Oi.
Oi, boyo.
Oh, what's occurring?
Yeah, that's it. He can't take it seriously. It's like when he was in... New Nexus with CM Punk, and Punk was telling him to have faith and all that shit.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and he was talking, and you just can't really take him seriously.
It's
the same reason that, unfortunately, nobody can take Jack Swagger 100% seriously.
What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Nothing.
But he's so good in the ring, stuff like that shouldn't matter, but it obviously does.
But the thing is, it's like, to a point if Jack Swagger was to have a serious heel manager. Now, I'm not saying Vicky's not a good manager, but a serious heel manager.
What would you say she is, though? She is a good serious heel manager. Serious in what sense? Like serious, like frowny face all the time?
Serious as in, you know, taking Jack Swagger to the top, you know, like kind of Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar.
I see kind of what you mean, because like she is a little bit comedic with the whole excuse me stuff, but I mean, she's, yeah, no, I can see
but
what you mean.
You remember Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Paul Heyman was the mouth. He bigged him up all the time. Yeah. You know, the next big thing, blah-de-blah, blah-de-blah. That's what he needs. He needs that person to work the mic for him, and Jack Swagger just stands there looking mean and, you know,
doing what Swagger does.
Just tear them apart.
You have to tear, what they'd have to do is literally tear him down and rebuild him, though.
Yeah, he would have to go away for a while.
Yeah, he would.
But that won't hurt him. I think he'll just make him better.
Yeah.
And make him a two-time world champion.
He's already two-time, isn't he?
It's one-time.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'm really happy about what happens next, because not only are we finally moving towards a CM Punk versus Del Rio feud,
yay,
which will be really good wrestling-wise,
yeah,
but I knew it, right? I fucking knew it, because Punk actually says it. And Tim, you're wrong. We talked about this before, and you said that he got his rematch in the triple threat. Well, he fucking didn't, because he never got his one-on-one rematch.
No, he never got his one-on-one.
And this is what I said to him, and Tim said that it kind of counts. I said, no, Tim, it doesn't count. Punk never got his one-on-one rematch for the title. Tim was wrong. Punk corroborates this for me.
This is correct, because when you have a rematch... This was correct.
You are correct, Steve.
You are great.
This is amazing.
You know, it would be so funny if people could actually watch us, because some of the stuff
we're doing
the
robot moves right now. Anyway, carry on.
The thing is, when you think of a rematch, you think one-on-one. If you've lost a title, you expect that one-on-one rematch.
Mm-hmm.
A triple threat doesn't count. You know, no. Triple threats get made up because there's another guy who needs to be put into it, or it'll make the match better.
Mm-hmm.
A rematch is one-on-one, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's not
triple threat. I, that's what I thought, and, you know, Punk coming out, you know, outwardly saying it, I thought was great, because proved me right.
You know, Tim's not here once again, so I'm here to correct him as well.
Oh, bitchy. Ooh, hey, you can do your promo back to him.
Oh, I haven't done it. Done it. Yeah. Tim, you know I'm better, so...
All right, that's
all you need.
Okay. Why are there? Oh, yeah. Sorry, I put a reference here, but I do know the answer. So let me carry on after I just say this. Why are there so many skateboard references aimed at Laurinaitis on this Raw?
Okay, go on.
And I didn't know, so I did a little bit of internet research.
Whoa!
Dynamic dudes, check him out with his fucking mullet carrying a skateboard.
I known about him because, you know, he's...
I never knew he was an ex-wrestler.
Yeah, he was big in Japan.
Never fucking knew that, ever.
Yeah, because his brother...
I watched him cut a nonsensical promo on YouTube.
You know who his brother is, don't you?
Who's that?
Oh, God. Animal.
You don't even know. Well, Animal! They don't even look alike. One's squat and, like, wide.
Yeah.
The other's tall.
One's on roids and the other one was, whoa, on weed, man!
That's crazy, though. Like, yeah. I wouldn't... Looking at him now, I would never have guessed him to have that gimmick ever.
What do you mean? Whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
But honestly, I think his biggest stint was in Japan, so, you know, I think he was only there for a little while.
Yeah.
So he never made it.
He's
as
still
a wrestler.
An ex-wrestler, so, I mean, respect-wise, props to that.
It's like as we get into a couple of shows down the line, what Punk says. Oh, no, it's on this show.
Yes.
Yeah. There we go.
Because, you know, I was a bit curious at first because Cena mentioned it at first backstage, mm-hmm. and then he mentioned it on this show. I'm surprised it took them so long to start making fun of him for it.
I think it's a, you know, Vince McMahon. You know, he likes a good rib.
He does, so. Yeah. Unless it's against him.
What do you mean? There's nothing to rib Vince about. He's great. He's God.
Exactly. He has his own universe.
Yeah. Remember that?
Either way, I mean, this is good promo stuff from Punk cutting down Laurinaitis.
Mm.
He's back on form here because it seemed like this promo, although I'm sure it was scripted, authenticated, and agreed upon, the way he performed it felt like it was coming from the heart, so it felt a lot more real.
It felt like it was Punk saying what he thought.
Exactly. Maybe it was just a good performance, but, you know, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, you know.
Because for a while, you know, after all the initial pipe bomb stuff,
yeah.
And when he first came back, all his promos seemed very... approved and scripted, and it didn't feel the same.
I think everyone expected this shoot style interview thing to go on and on.
It should have done.
It should have done, but you know, I think Punk is a bit Brian Pillman to a point. I think he is a bit of a loose cannon, and if you do let him go off on what he wants to do, Punk will rip you a new hole. I've seen promos of him on the indies, and the guy you know, he's got one of the best mouths on him.
I still maintain that him coming back so soon is the worst thing he could have done.
He should have came back at WrestleMania.
That'd been dope.
You know,
I would have popped big time because I'll be there.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Man, we'll cover the podcast. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, I'll teach you how. Yeah, that's all I got to say about Punk stuff. It was pretty good. Good showing. Felt like old Punk again.
And so I like
what I mean, old Punk being Circa Summer when he was huge.
And I like how John Laurinaitis was like, "No, I've got to think about it now."
Yeah,
you know, you sat there going, "No, give him the title shot."
Yeah, yeah.
And you got to wait a week.
So next up, it's Wade Barrett and John Morrison
Wade
in the ring.
Wade Barrett.
And all Michael Cole can do is attack JR live and on Twitter whilst they're wrestling. This is what he used to do during the Diva matches.
Yeah.
And it has such a negative effect on the match from a viewer perspective because you can't concentrate and you don't care. Like, I don't think – like, Morrison is good, but my opinion of Barrett is he's middle of the road for me. He's entirely average. I just don't see him being that great just yet.
The thing is with Barrett and – you know, we've discussed this in the past on and off the show. I think if he was to be used correctly, he could be the top heel. I understand what you're saying. He's, you know, out of the whole Nexus thing, he is the biggest loser. But he has not been forgotten like other people.
No. Like you Darren know? Young.
Yep. Who?
Black Cena. No, the problem with Wade Barrett is he's very boring. And at this point in time, him trying to give himself the gimmick that he is the worst time to do so because Kevin Nash is around.
Mm.
So him going out, going like, it's all about business, it's all about the money for me, clashes with Kevin Nash.
But that was his gimmick when he debuted on
back?
NXT.
Well,
I know you're going to back Nash
the main
because...
event. Exactly.
But the thing is...
I mean, you got that, and you got him wearing a jacket with a fucking rose in it. Fuck off. It's stupid.
But he was wearing that on NXT, and
it
had a lot of character.
Then. No, he was stupid. That, back in NXT, before he was on the mic, and,
the
you know, characters were built through commentary, weren't
yeah.
they? That's all they had on him. He's a bare-knuckle boxer in England, and he carries an English rose. That was literally the two defining things
about
him.
The thing is, though, you're forgetting one thing. I know I'm going off on something major here. The rose was always different, and the rose meant something different every time he wore different color roses. They need to bring that back. You know, I know it sounds pretty...
It doesn't matter if they don't explain it.
Well, they're dropping something on Barrett, and, you know, he can be...
That's, this is what I mean.
Eventer.
I think Barrett could be okay, but right now I find his style to be very boring. It's very generic big man stuff.
I think it's because they've got, once again, nothing to do for him. So,
I mean, this match is kind of proof of that. They had a good ending to a really standard match, you know, but they actually fucked up the ending, if you can recall, because... Barrett couldn't catch John Morrison, who did the springboard or something like that, and he was supposed to catch him and put him straight into Wasteland, and he fucked it up, so they did it again. No, he picked him up and did it, and it would have been really, really cool if he just pulled it off from the start, but obviously it's live, and you can't account for that, so you can hardly blame him.
Have you noticed a lot of Morrison's matches have been
sloppy?
Sloppy and ending in the same way. He's always
losing.
Been caught. Oh, yeah, losing.
Losing.
Yeah, he didn't lose on the recent house show, so... Doesn't matter. It's a good show.
And talking about Barrett and pushes and stuff like that and developing him, Wade Barrett gets to celebrate for about 5 seconds on TV before we cut back to Triple H and Nash replays, no less. Replays of what happened earlier.
Let's refresh our memories here.
Exactly. But this is a point. Like, literally, if they're trying to push somebody, you can't have them win a match and just go, and now back to this.
The thing is, though, Barrett is only enhancement talent on Raw.
Yeah,
he shows SmackDown, so they'll build him on SmackDown like
Super
they are.
Super Show.
Super Show.
Raw Super Show.
Yo, Super Show!
Here's a quick throwaway comment for you. God, Michael Cole looks old in HD.
Does he? I don't
You know,
have,
it's true, though.
I don't have the quality of HD at home.
I watched it in HD, and, like, where? What happened to that young face whippet from 1998 when he was so thin with that little douchey goatee?
Bring back
go?
The goatee.
Now he's a fat old man.
Get rid of him. Just honestly, Cole is doing my head in. I really hate watching Raw because of Cole. I know that's a bad thing to say, but Cole just does my head in. I cannot watch it. I have to have the volume down low.
He's gotten better because he's become less of a on-screen character at points.
Yeah.
At points.
Yeah.
It really kind of like peaks and troughs with him because like the worst time was when he was literally the number one heel on television, and that made no sense because he wasn't even a fucking wrestler. He was the most hated man on Raw.
The thing is with Cole, you know, I think they'll never drop him now.
No.
You know,
he's too big.
You know, this whole JR thing, I think it's just poor JR getting the piss taken out of him.
I hate that. It's so annoying. And as I was discussing with Tim, having Michael Cole bully JR doesn't make sense in corresponding with their Be a Star campaign.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just everything being contradicted. So
it is the WWE.
There it goes.
Last bit of Raw, just to wrap it up. Cena comes out, and I like how he poses with the We Hate Cena dude.
Oh, from the
shirt.
Guy. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's really funny because he tried giving him his shirt, didn't he? And he gave it to the kid next to him.
Well, that's nice, though.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny.
He could have threw it back and been a total douche.
This match, again, is a match we've seen loads of times. 2010, Cena versus The Miz. The last time they faced was at Mania, really.
Oh, yeah.
Cena calls out an audible tag out to Miz because it's a tag match.
Mm-hmm.
It's a DQ finish, which leads to The Miz and R-Truth versus Cena and The Rock at Survivor Series. And the big thing to talk about from this announcement was John Cena's spit bomb all over the mic.
Oh, my God, that was so nasty.
Which, if you pay attention on SmackDown, when they showed replays, they edited it.
They did? I never know, so.
Watch the Raw rebound.
Rebound?
Yeah, watch the Raw rebound, because when he does it again, it's quite clear that they re-recorded it and then edited in the second one where he doesn't spit all over the mic. All
right, so the cameras were turned off and everyone was going home. He's like, quickly, record it.
Pretty much, I guess, you know, but I thought it was pretty funny. Like, yeah. The Rock! I mean, how do you even... The Rock, I mean, doesn't really create a lot of saliva.
Bit, you know, he's been wrestling. He might have been a bit tired.
Maybe. Poor Diddums.
Oh, poor Cena Wiener.
And that's Raw for that week, so let's move on to SmackDown. And to be honest with you, I mean, there's not much for me to say on this SmackDown because I went out on the Friday night and got super fucking drunk. And I barely ever drink, it's got to be pointed out. So don't shake your head at me.
I'm
right?
disappointed.
This is usually what Tim does.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, Tim's not here, yeah? This is the better part of the show.
I got really, really drunk, and I was super hungover on Saturday. Thankfully, Jesus. My girlfriend was down, and she was able to look after me. But I know, right? But I turned on SmackDown. I watched it kind of in a half daze, trying not to throw up. All I really remember was a pretty decent match between Orton and Ziggler.
That was a very good match, yeah.
And what we're going to do here is just cheat a little bit. We're going to look at results right now and just talk about them very, very quickly.
We will never do this again. We do apologize.
Well, Brad apologizes.
Well, Steve never apologizes for anything.
Right. So, Miz and R-Truth defeated Air Boom. What do you think about that?
Does it really matter at the moment?
Because I mean, the only thing to come out of that is the fact that Evan Bourne's suspended now.
Well, as of Monday.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, I don't think they're going to actually take the tag titles off Air Boom.
I think Air Boom is a weird team because they seem so inconsistent in, like, their win-loss column.
Mm.
They're winning loads and they're losing loads.
But I think, you know, Air Boom are there to buffer the whole, you know, tag thing between Miz, Truth, Cena and Rock. You know, they need another tag team who the crowd will get behind just to build it up. Because
and not only that, but of course, a victory for Miz and R-Truth solidifies them as true competition.
Yeah.
Until next week's Raw, which we'll get onto in just a moment. Yeah. Wade Barrett defeated Trent Barretta. What do you think? And this is why I don't like Wade Barrett. Randy Orton defeated the United States champion Dolph Ziggler, of course, which I thought was a really solid match. Again, I can't really remember the details, but the fact that I remember that match while sitting in a hungover haze surely defines how good that
was.
Well,
I kind of remember that match pretty well. Dolph Ziggler did carry that match, you know, because Randy, I think, was doing his normal call-in kind of stuff, but Dolph just shows how well of a superstar he is, you know. He's primed.
He's ready for the main event. Whether it's wrestling twice at Vengeance or going one-on-one and helping to really carry this match with Orton.
If you think about it, Dolph gets a lot of stick, you know. He not for what he does, but, you know, like, the stuff he has to go through just to show that he is a top star.
Yeah, he should be a main eventer now.
You know,
even with the stupid peroxide hair and a name like Dolph Ziggler, that dude is doing well, and he should be in the main event title picture.
I remember when he was Mikey or whatever he was named.
Mikey! Hunico revealed his face and his intentions.
I can't believe one of the Briscoe brothers is actually the other Sin Cara.
Funny. And then, of course, we cut backstage, and Daniel Bryan and Tyson Kidd have a little altercation in order to promote the new Bret Hart Shawn Michaels DVD.
Well,
although they obviously don't say that.
Well, you know the backstory. Brian was trained by Shawn. Tyson is the adopted family member
of
the Hart.
He's the last ever Hart Dungeon graduate as well.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan defeated Tyson Kidd in a match that lasted no time at all. I remember that much as
well. And Daniel Bryan's beard is getting epic.
Yeah. He's not going to cut it till after WrestleMania, is he?
Yeah, well, he'll catch it in at Royal Rumble, so it doesn't matter.
Wow. But, yeah, I mean, I thought, considering the quality of wrestlers these guys both are, they could have had a much longer match. Not only that, but they were both representing their respective camps,
yeah,
if you will. Could be a pay-per-view match.
It could be, but, you know, it's typical WWE. We won't put, you know, our Money in the Bank winner on a pay-per-view. It could be the opening match to Survivor Series, and it will get the crowd going. These two have epic matches every time they wrestle. They've never had a bad
Tyson
match.
Tyson Kidd is one of the other best-kept secrets on...
Unfortunately, he'll never be
roster.
Anything. He'll just be down there on Superstars.
Finally, Sorry. Of course, the championship is never the last thing to happen on a show anymore, because that would just be silly.
Why is that?
Mark Henry and Big Show meet for the first time since Vengeance, and Mark Henry denies him the match, doesn't he?
I think it doesn't make him look weak, but it makes him look like there's someone who can defeat Mark Henry.
Mm.
You know, he was on the ring apron, I do remember this, holding his ribs, he was going to get in, and he was like, no,
yeah,
I don't have to do this.
That's right.
You know, and it looked really good. And the thing is, at the end of the day, Big Show has no reason for another title match, in theory.
That's right.
You know, so...
He had a shot and he lost.
Yeah, and I like it. And I think it's a good feud. It's, you know, these two are working really well together.
Well, I mean, they put on the only kind of match they would ever be able to put on.
And it was
on.
A good, solid match for those two. You know, probably no complaints. Two. Mark Henry, once again, a great pay-per-view match.
They're only going to wrestle one kind of style. So, I mean, if you're bitching on the internet about, like, oh my god, these guys are so slow.
Where was the moonsault from Mark Henry?
Yeah, dude, come on. Get a grip. And the final match was CM Punk against Christian, where Punk defeats Christian after run-in interference from Sheamus. Of course, Alberto Del Rio comes out as well to try to distract CM Punk during the course of this match.
Once again, I remember this match. Another solid match. Christian, CM Punk, you know, they need to freshen up the brands. These two could have quite a good feud.
They really could, actually. Yeah,
you know, both good workers on the mic.
It'll be interesting to see what happens at the next draft.
Mm.
Who goes where? What happens after that?
Well, we know Randy will probably go back onto Raw.
Mm. Well, I mean, the idea of moving him over to SmackDown in the first place was to have him be the top babyface of SmackDown and Cena the top babyface of Raw, so they don't get in each other's way, essentially.
Yeah, well, at the moment it doesn't really matter, because Randy Orton's actually dropped down the rankings as some of the top people in the company. You know, I think there's other people betting in him now.
Yeah, I agree. We even talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
But I just think he's a little bit boring, really.
He is boring.
It's because he wrestles the same match over and over again. That's the problem.
Yep.
I mean, we were saying, I honestly believe that he wrestles essentially like Cena does, too. And Tim said that, too.
You get more enjoyment out of a Cena match than a Randy Orton match nowadays.
And that's purely because of the charisma that Cena carries over with him and the love/hate that the crowd have towards him. Right, so even if he's wrestling a boring standard Cena match, at least you've got the crowd to get behind with as well.
Well, I think they'll probably do when it comes to the draft. Randy will come back and he'll turn heel.
It'll be good to see him heel again. He was always more interesting as a heel. Anyway, that was SmackDown for this week.
Sorry about that.
But now it's time to talk about...
The Muppets!
Alright, you're in the surprise, even though everybody's already seen it. I was going to say, this is probably one of my favorite Raws that I've seen in a long while, just because it was so goofy.
Yay!
It's just so goofy and out there. But, you know, the Muppets aren't on just yet. This is obviously the Halloween show, and The Rock kicks off the show, not Triple H, with a really great promo.
Team Pretty Pebbles.
How gray was The Rock's beard, though?
It's looking really good, you know. He looks pretty heelish.
And his arms look super vascular and veiny as well.
Well, if you think about it, from the time The Rock made his return, just before WrestleMania, to now, the guy has put on a lot of muscle.
He looks super cut. Like, not only bigger, but also just cut, you know? The Rock says no to teaming with John Cena initially, which I say, you know, it makes perfect story sense.
Yeah.
Him saying no. But then he turns it around and, like, it almost seems like he's convincing himself that he should.
But the way he does it is really good. He's not doing it for Cena. He's doing it for the millions and millions of Rock fans.
Mm.
You know, it makes more sense. You know, he's doing it for them.
I'll be honest with you. I think storyline-wise, it would still make more sense to him just go, no, fuck you, Cena. I'm not doing this.
And then what, just turn up at Survivor Series?
Rock bottom.
Boom, to Cena.
People's elbow. Rock bottom to everybody, yo.
Yo, oh, well, that's how I think it's going to end. You know, we'll have the Rock stand until all Cena at the end of it. You know, one of them will double.
Oh, it's going to be... Okay, if the Rock's not standing tall, Cena certainly won't be standing tall. It'll either be the Rock standing tall or face-to-face.
You know, one goes for the finisher and he turns around and he's like, ooh.
That's it. Like, ooh. You're that close.
Don't do that.
That close.
Don't be doing that, boy.
Then we segue off of that promo, which was actually kind of long, I thought, as well.
It was.
He kind of got the point across early on, I thought, and then he just kept going on and on.
Well, I think he's got to kind of keep the feud between him and Cena going. So he's got to dig Cena, you know, with the little Team Fruity Pebbles. But, you know, it was good. It was what it needed.
I've got a question for you.
Oh, I like your questions.
So my question is... do you remember a time when Mark Henry would have just simply squashed CM Punk on ECW?
Oh,
like, literally
yes.
Just dominated him.
Yes, I do. I do.
Yeah, because they obviously had their match together, but Punk put in quite a good showing against Mark Henry. And, you know, Del Rio comes out and causes the DQ, which leads Henry to win.
No. Del Rio never caused the DQ. Paul Rico? I can't think of his name.
Ricardo Rodriguez.
Yeah.
When he hits him with a shoe.
I thought that was great. You know, the referee won't call for it. He's like, I'll take the shoe
off.
He hit him loads.
As soon as he hit him, that's a foreign object. You can't use that. As soon as it's in your hand, it's not a shoe. It's a foreign object.
It's quite funny. I did explain to my girlfriend about the DQs. It's like, but Punk never asked him. It's like, but it's still, he gets the upper hand, so they have to DQ him.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to explain that. So it was quite cute.
Aww.
She was like, why? Why is he getting disqualified?
Because of obvious reasons.
Yes.
Anyway. The next segment features Kermit and Miss Piggy.
Yay!
Kermit? The original diva, Miss Piggy.
She was the original diva.
Yes, true.
You know what?
True.
Great segment this was.
I thought it was great. I thought it was so funny. There's the obvious... I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I predicted what we would see on this show, and I was right on all accounts. With Tim, and I said there would be an inevitable Piggy Vicky Guerrero meeting, and there was.
Well, it had to be, didn't there? You know,
that's
top
obvious.
Hill.
It's obvious that was going to happen. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I thought it was just pretty inevitable. No trouble for you or your mother.
Oh, that was a great line, Kermit. Yeah. You know, he's comedy genius, isn't he?
Yeah,
this is really good. You know, the best bit's about to come. The expression of one Santino Morales.
Well, yeah, that's it.
I just like the biting of the fist and going, Muppets.
Yeah, yeah, they're so excited. And then Santino ripped you off, which shows that he listens to us. Yeah, shows that he listens to us.
Yes.
And then Kelly comes out and kisses Kermit, which gets Miss Piggy really jealous.
Fuck you, Kelly.
I thought even that was awesome, because just Kermit's reaction was like, and then starts to sway around and stuff, and then Miss Piggy just fuming and just shaking with rage. I just thought it was all really funny.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. I mean, like, I'm guessing if you're not a Muppets fan or have never been a Muppets fan, firstly, you don't know what it is to enjoy life.
Yeah.
Secondly,
sad bastards.
If that was the case, then you really wouldn't have enjoyed this Raw. But if you are a Muppets fan, you probably had a blast.
It was a good Raw, you know. I think a lot of people bigged it up more than it was, but it was a good Raw.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with you, because just I really enjoyed the Muppet stuff. It was so goofy, but what was good about it is that they embraced that goofiness.
Yes.
They didn't pretend it was anything that it wasn't. And, you know, with the ridiculousness at times of what professional wrestling is anyway, you know, I thought it was perfect.
It was the perfect mixture of entertainment and wrestling.
And wackiness.
And wackiness, yes.
And then, of course, next up we have Christian, who's picking on Beaker.
You missed out the Diva Battle Royal.
I missed out what? Who cares? Next up, we have Christian, who picks on Beaker. And what do you know? Who shows up?
Sheamus.
Sheamus. That's another thing that I called, which was obviously incredibly, incredibly predictable.
I like that as
But what I didn't predict was the fact that he said that he wouldn't make it to the family reunion. And then he says, say hello to Aunt whoever the fuck.
I like the hair bit.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I thought it was a cute scene. I just thought it was really funny.
So we all know Sheamus is actually a Muppet.
That's right. Or part Muppet, at least.
Yeah, he's part Muppet. I would like to look into his family tree.
Yeah, and doing his hair and then doing Beaker. Oh, it's funny.
It was great.
Good. It was good. And then this is a little side note, but I think Santino being involved with the Muppets, like, heavily makes a lot of sense, because he is a bit of a Muppet in himself.
Well, the thing is, Santino, when the initial guest hosts started, Santino was always involved. And I think it is a great person to use with the guest host, especially the Muppets, mm-hmm. you know, because of his comedy characters, larger than life comedy character. It's just a great way to use him.
Exactly. I mean, he is the comedic character on Raw, mm-hmm. in WWE, and so it just seems natural. Not only that, but it's good for him because it gives him TV time.
Yeah, and they need to build him back up a little. Yeah. You know, I think he said on Twitter he wants to go for the United States title.
He needs to be a bit more serious if that's going to happen.
They could do a mini feud with him. Just, you know, build him up. He can, you know, some really bad comedy matches with...
You wouldn't believe that this Santino is the same Santino who was involved in the quote-unquote Milan Miracle.
Two-time Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, when he beat Umaga,
you know,
back in the day.
God.
Next up was Wade Barrett and Cody Rhodes, who defeated Kofi and Bourne in a pretty standard match. But again, what's interesting about this is another Airboom loss.
And the last time we're going to see Bourne for 30 days.
30 days. It's going to fly
by. You heard why he got suspended, though.
Synthetic marijuana. Yeah.
You know, the first
Don't
proper
drugs,
drug.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Well, it's the first proper drug, though.
But it's synthetic marijuana, so it's not even real weed.
Well, at least he's keeping the high flyer motion going.
At least after that, we had Stanton and Waldorf doing their bit. What?
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 That was great. They're not the original guys who done it, the voices, though.
These have been going since, what, the 70s, 80s?
Well, I know that, but it's like, you listen to them. I was just listening to them, and I was just like, it's not the same. They don't sound the same. Their voices are not as growly and, you know, because they used to be quite angry old men.
Yeah. Well, they were always sarcastic, weren't they? Mm. They made their little wisecracks and then laughed to themselves
before they
went back to bed, because they're quite clearly two old queens who live together.
They should have taken piss out of Cole more. That would have been better.
Out of who? Colton?
Cole. Michael Cole.
Oh, Cole. Right,
been better.
Do you remember the Del Rio Big Show feud that happened only a couple months ago?
Yes.
It happened at Capital Punishment.
Yes, I do
stuff
remember
like that.
Yeah,
because they had a match today, and like they really pretended like none of that happened.
Once again, it's WWE doing their continuity.
Yeah, one of my favorite moves that Del Rio is doing right now, that I'm sure in the future, if he carries on doing it, we're going to complain. It's like, oh, it's just like seeing it. It's just like Orton, blah blah blah. But right now, it's still pretty cool. The repeated boots to the face when his opponent's on one knee. And he just clocks him over and over again. That shit looks awesome.
It does look awesome. I can't wait to see it on WWE 12.
Yeah, seriously.
It'll be a great move.
WWE 12, by the way. Keep listening.
Ooh, we might have some prizes.
Maybe not this one, but keep listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I think Del Rio is so good. And I thought, actually, surprisingly, it was a really well put together, good, lengthy back and forth matchup between the two of them.
Yeah, it was a good match. You know, once again, I think Big Show gets knocked quite a bit, but for a big man, he can carry it. It's like Mark Henry. They can carry good matches.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a bit of an abrupt ending.
Yes.
To be honest with you. But, like, I think that kind of ending would have made a lot of sense at a pay-per-view.
We're forgetting one thing before we get to the end of this match, you know, what happens afterwards. Because Punk's match earlier on the night, if he beat Mark Henry, he would have got the title shot. Mm-hmm. Or he didn't beat Mark Henry. John Laurinaitis said he can have the match if Del Rio agrees.
Yes.
So we're catching everyone up. There we go. So
Thank you. And then, of course, CM Punk kind of demands his title shot, doesn't he?
Very Stone Cold-esque. You know, gets what he wants, how he wants it.
Yeah, it really is. I thought it was really cool how he did it. Even though, in all honesty, I thought like the announcement afterwards was kind of lame because obviously his mic was off.
But very, you know, keeping him in storyline, pipe bomb.
It's true, yeah, it does do that. And it was like the whole R-Truth thing as well, when the mic was out and he complained it was conspiracy.
Conspiracy, yeah.
It's a smart way to turn what is essentially a technical fuck-up into a storyline beat.
It is a really good way to do it. You know, he looked down the camera and he was like, what now? You know, and it was, you know, he was like, oh, who's doing this?
Yeah, he was trying to keep him down. What did you think of Animal being the guest timekeeper for the Swagger Santino match?
I thought it was good. Yeah. You know, how else are you going to use Animal? You know, he doesn't really say anything else, and ding, 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 ding. You know,
kind of does it, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit of a shame because I mean, he's obviously one of the most beloved of the Muppets.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, the only thing that I could imagine else that they could have done is if they threw Animal into the ring for Santino to catch, and he's just kind of there rolling around with him.
Well, you know, that could have gone horribly wrong.
Yeah. Well, if he missed, and this they had Animal like essentially dead on the mat.
Just been ran to. King and Cole.
King Cole.
We have some really sad news.
Animal is
dead.
Pennant Man. Pennant Man. Pennant Man. I said this to you earlier, but I'll say it again. I mean, I'm pretty sure there was a consistent "We want Muppets, boo! We want Muppets, boo!" chant back and forth between the fans.
Well, I didn't quite hear, but it's like, you know, I swear there was.
I'm pretty sure it happens again later on the night with something else.
It might be. It might be the chanting's actually getting a bit smart.
Maybe a smarker.
Smarker.
That's what it's Dan.
Some Alex.
And of course, Santino takes it with an assist from Beaker and the Muppets' secret blue energy drink.
Yeah, you know, he should be suspended.
Why? Because steroids?
Steroids, yeah. That's obviously what he was. You know, where's the drug testing? Drug testing?
What can I say?
Muppets get away with anything.
It's sickening, isn't it?
I know.
But yeah, I mean, they were fighting. Yeah, you know, and total props to Jack Swagger for going along with this, because, I mean, a lot of people might be annoyed about having to do it, but Swagger did it with a smile on his face, the way he was engaging with Kermit and stuff like that.
I think they're building to a Swagger versus Kermit match at WrestleMania.
Mania. Yeah, that'd be good. They'll both be fighting for Miss Piggy's love.
Oh,
her bacon love hole.
Oh my god, that is disgusting.
The bacon love hole.
Oh, with some applesauce.
Applesauce and some gravy in there.
Oh, yeah, that is wrong.
You know what that does? It kind of gives a different meaning to pigs in a blanket. Thank you.
You vile bastard.
Thank you. Then moving on from that. Bacon hole. That's right. I was going to say, the other chant, I've got my notes here, is a "Let's go, Ryder, boo."
I think a lot of the smarky people are getting a bit fed up with Ryder.
I'll tell you what.
Go on, tell me what.
I think I mentioned this before. No, it's here, right here. Two things. Firstly, Ryder's matches are getting longer each week.
They trust in Ryder?
Yeah. He's built himself up, and he's getting TV time because of it. But this is what I was going to say. Honestly, hand on heart, I think that Zack Ryder's got a bit of a weird-looking face. Seriously, don't you think? Like, I don't know what he looks like, but he looks... Maybe he looks a little bit like a Muppet, but he just looks a little bit like a... Like, he's got kind of small eyes and, like... I don't know, there's something about his face I don't like.
Island, so...
There's just something about his face I don't like. It kind of unsettles me.
Oh my god, you pikey. You're looking at me wrong. Yeah?
Whatever.
Your face looks wrong.
Official blows the call. With Ziggler's foot under the rope, because they restarted straight away, waved it off.
Yeah.
But in all honesty, they could have started a really nice feud because of it.
Yeah, you know, these two, I think, can go on to another pay-per-view match, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully giving Ryder the title to give Ziggler the chance to go up a level.
Up, yeah, absolutely. It was a pretty nice finish with Ryder taking the clean win.
Yeah.
Both Vicky's guys lost tonight, as a side note.
It doesn't really matter, because these two are at a comfortable stage. The WWE, I think, have a lot of faith in them, but as I said earlier on, we'll stick them with a lot of shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and they make shit into...
Shit-a-nade. The problem is, right, like, yeah, they're putting their faith into them, but there's only so much crap they can be asked to do, because they're taking all on the chin right now, and they're doing what they're asked, but...
Paying your dues.
They deserve to do better. I think they deserve to... I would call the Spirit Squad paying... his dues back in the day.
Wow. All right,
let's push on. We jump backstage, and there's Hornswoggle hitting on Miss Piggy.
Showing off his tattoos.
That's it. He got himself a Muppet tattoo. We read about that before.
Yeah.
And then Kermit comes out and says, "And I thought our show was weird." And then Cody Rhode comes out and puts a bag on his head, which I thought was really quite funny. And
the facial expressions of Kermit, they were great.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, we talked about it earlier, but I think that this moment in itself perfectly encapsulates the WWE's willingness to accept their own ridiculousness.
Yes.
You know, just Cody Rhodes coming out, and the fact he's got such a stupid... Really, it's kind of a stupid gimmick.
Yeah.
You know, the mask and the thinking he's grotesque, despite the fact he's clearly normal because it's a plastic mask that you can see through.
Just that nose used to wear.
Yeah.
That was grotesque.
Yeah, that was stupid.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole bagging stuff, that's all really kind of dorky. It's all really kind of fucking stupid. And they just went with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then we're moving into the last part of the night now. And just like I mentioned earlier, it's Miz versus John Cena. And, you know, they had their feud, obviously, that ended at Mania and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big crowd reaction for John Cena, and it is both positive and negative, as only John Cena can garner.
The only way he can go.
I mean, to me, personally, the placement of the Miz-John Cena match as the main event already highlights what the WWE feels is more important, and it's not the title.
It isn't the title, you know.
It's not been the titles for a long while.
It's all about Rock and Cena at the end of the day. And, you know, it shows the titles lost all value years ago.
Well, once upon a time, the CM Punk segment, when he got his matches at Survivor Series against Del Rio after putting it on the Anaconda Vice, that would have ended the show.
Yeah.
It would have been Del Rio saying, yes, 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 him letting go, Del Rio writhing on the floor, then CM Punk celebrating as it slowly fades out. That would have been the other show. Yeah, and that to me, that makes more sense because that's for the belt.
But the belt's not worth anything.
Well,
titles are just there, you know, to glorify a match a little.
Could you believe this? Could you believe that a random fan attacked John Cena?
No.
Yeah. Oh, wait, it's just R-Truth in a Scream mask.
Fucking being gullible.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
I don't remember that. When did that happen?
It was a very, very
poor
end of Raw. But,
the main event.
Yeah, that's the main event. It shouldn't have been. But, again, this is me being a bit geeky and just loving overhearing shit that obviously shouldn't get on TV. At the very, very tail end of Raw, you can hear someone saying, Hey, get off my shirt. Listen to it again. At the very end of it, you hear someone going, "Hey, get off my shirt."
Your hearing is so great.
No, it's just like before I pointed out to Tim on the pay per view Vengeance. No, not Vengeance. I think it was like the SmackDown before Vengeance or whenever the fuck. When Mark Henry wanted to take his title back and go backstage,
yeah.
And one of the guys was going, "Quitter, quitter."
Some of the crowds, you know, when you actually hear them say stuff, it's funny.
But that was Raw, and big thumbs up for that week's Raw from me.
Yeah, as I said earlier on, it wasn't as big good as everyone made it out. Everyone's like, "Oh, it's the best Raw ever." But
no,
it was good. Raw.
I mean, it's one of those things where yes, it reveled in its own ridiculousness, and you would not enjoy that. Like, if you were trying to convince your friend, like, "No, wrestling's pretty cool, man.
It's the wrong show.
Absolutely, it's the wrong show." But if you already like wrestling and accept it for what it is, and if you like the Muppets as well, then you would have had a blast with this
show.
There
you go.
And let's push on to SmackDown, the final segment of this show. So, this SmackDown happened only recently on Friday. I know have you seen this or not seen it?
I haven't seen this one yet.
I'll take point on this. I've got some notes, but you can obviously just go off of that.
I'll give you my opinions.
Orton versus Cody Rhodes starts this card in a street fight.
Oh, great.
I was talking to you about this earlier. Well, firstly, it's Orton versus Cody again.
Again. Pay-per-view stipulation kind of match.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. As a side note, apparently Vince McMahon was really disappointed by the lack of Twitter response that happened during Raw this past week.
All right.
The Muppets one. He was expecting a lot better. He didn't get it.
Well, not enough trending topics.
Yeah, I mean, they're entering into a really close working relationship with Twitter soon. That's what I've been reading.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's great. I love Twitter, personally.
Well, it's
Appline Tag Podcast. Orton is doing... during the announcement, I could not believe this, but, you know, I've talked about this before. I already know this fact, but every time I hear it, it just astounds me. Orton is a 9-time champ in a 5-year period because he started winning the belt in maybe 06, 05.
Oh,
so a 5 or 6 year period, he's been a 9-time champ.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, every time I hear that stat, it just...
It's the same with Cena and Edge.
Yeah, Edge is 9-time. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
As Booker T would say.
Right here.
The baggers get taken out during this match. One gets a back body drop, the other gets RKO'd.
Wow, you know, because they're so lethal, those two guys.
Well, it's Cody's trying to hide behind him, and he pushes him into Orton and
oh,
Orton
right.
him up.
Well, that was a bit unfair, Randy. What have they ever done to you?
The big story about this match is the fact that it's quite well paced at the start, to be honest with you. They don't spill out till a little bit later. They start it with actually wrestling. But the big story was Orton gets busted slightly during this matchup.
Oh, no.
At the top of the crown of his head. And there's only, the tiniest bit of blood. And they're showing it on TV, which they obviously did not do when Orton busted up Cody.
Cody, yeah.
And I was querying here, is this story purpose blood? And, of course, we both know because it's PG, if you bleed on purpose, you get fined now. So I'm curious about whether that happened or not. But by the end of the match, to be honest with you, it was like... It almost seemed to be like a tiny little nick because there was barely any blood on him.
Sometimes, if they can get away with it, you know, they try and use a legit reason. You know, it's like, oh, it looks like he's been busted open the hard way, or they just don't bring it up. If they, you know, if you can't notice it, they won't go on about it.
Yeah. Another really good showing from Cody Rhodes, to be honest with you, showing just like Dolph Ziggler why he should be going into the main event now.
Well, you know, give it to the Royal Rumble, one of these guys could be winning it.
Okay. See how they build him up.
Yeah.
It depends how they build him up. And, oh my God, you won't believe this, but Ted DiBiase is on TV.
Wow.
I know, right?
He's got his mustache.
The big problem I had with this, he didn't have a mustache, I didn't think. Right. The problem I had with this version of DiBiase, though, because this is the first time he's been on SmackDown in a couple of weeks, he's smiling and high-fiving people as he walks down the rampway.
His father would be so disappointed.
He's just doing, like, standard babyface 101 shit, and it really kind of bothered me.
What color trunks has he got?
He's got the same trunks, the ones that look...
Oh, I was just going to see if they were going generic babyface colored trunks. No.
The symbol on the back of his trunks reminds me of the Undertaker's symbol. Like, you remember the T with the two crosses?
Yeah.
It looks like that. I just made a note here because, you know, both of these guys, the other being Tyson Kidd... they both struggle to get on TV. They both struggle to shine. And they need to shine now because they actually get the opportunity to wrestle each other on a SmackDown. They really need to pull out all the stops and show the brass that they deserve to be on television.
I'm really impressed that you said it's Tyson Kidd. You know, twice he's been on TV in 2 weeks. You know, and he's probably been doing superstar tapings as well. So, you know, hopefully, as I say about Tyson Kidd, they'll probably never use him because he's not... the WWE mold.
Yeah.
You know, so, end of the day, unfortunately, Tyson Kidd won't go anywhere. But
right.
If they start using Ted, you know, like we keep saying.
Well, this is just it, because DiBiase wins.
That's good.
He won a match, and
that's
he won
good.
It clean. I couldn't be happier. And hopefully, this is the start of something. You know,
Zach Ryder's.
I say here, like, hopefully this is the start of something, anything.
I think he can go over after Zack Ryder.
What's he call his followers? The DiBiase douches.
Douchebags?
No, because, you know, it's the Zack Pack, and DiBiase has his own internet show.
Does he?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
I can't remember. I haven't watched it either, even though I'm a big DiBiase fan, but I can't remember what he calls his fans, but they got name dropped throughout the show as
the
well.
Bitches.
The bitches. Oh, yeah, as a side note, for what it's worth, Alicia Fox beat Natalya. Moving on. Christian comes out to the ring.
I'm awake. Sorry, what?
Yeah, Christian.
Oh, sorry.
He comes out to the ring. Yeah, he fell asleep because we talked about Alicia Fox very briefly. This pin-up strong stuff makes no sense. All they've done is lose matches. It's fucking stupid.
Let's just move on.
Okay. Yeah, Christian gets chokeslammed by the Big Show, and it now apparently has to wrestle Sheamus. This is what I mentioned to you earlier because they were advertising a Sheamus versus Christian match again. But
Boring. Nope.
Christian steps out, and Wade Barrett comes in to challenge Sheamus, saying he should take him on rather than fight an injured Christian.
Fair enough. I can get behind that.
I mean, these guys only fought a couple weeks ago, and they put on pretty much the exact same match as then. It was slow. It was boring. It was two big guys doing the identical movesets.
Well, you know, I know your opinion on Barrett and stuff. You know, until they build him up right.
The problem is here as well, it's not just Barrett and his relative limited ring abilities. It's the fact that he was in the ring against someone so similar in style to
him.
See, the thing is, right, the reason I like Sheamus over Barrett is Sheamus has a character, Sheamus has charisma, right? Barrett does not have that.
Sheamus has Irish, that's what it is.
Now, I mean, well, don't get me wrong, I don't really enjoy those Irish stories that he goes off on.
What do you mean, fella?
Fella.
Ella.
Hey. But I just think that he's more likeable.
He
was a better heel.
Yeah, he was a good heel.
He was a better heel than Wade Barrett is right now. And he's a pretty good face. Which
why don't we turn Barrett face and see how he works out as a face?
Because Barrett is boring. Barrett Brigade, more like Barrett bullshit. Barrage of Barrett bullshit.
Oh, that's pretty
fun.
That's mean.
That's truth.
Oh, that hurts.
It's awesome truth.
Oh, no.
That is. As a side note, I actually quite like Daniel Bryan's new t-shirt because we cut to a backstage segment of Mark Henry talking to Daniel Bryan because Mark Henry is doing a promo.
Right.
And then he looks across and he goes across to where Daniel Bryan is and he goes, are you eyeballing me? Are you looking at me? And Daniel Bryan's just like, no.
No, sir.
No. And then it ends up in them having a match and shit later on in the night. But his shirt is like two, holding the lapel lock, his hands clasped across the shirt at a diagonal angle with the phrase, everyone taps.
That's good. That's good.
I think it's like a burgundy shirt. It's a weird
burgundy
color, but it's quite nice. Moving on to the next match, we have Epico versus Sin Cara. And I've only got a few notes about this one because, I mean, isn't Epico Primo? Like, literally, they look identical. I was informed earlier they were apparently cousins or something like that.
Primo's younger brother is in the company. He was down at FCW, so it might be his younger brother.
Would that also make him Carlito's brother?
Yeah.
Yeah. They look
the
identical, though.
They look clones, aren't they?
Yeah. They look so alike. It just looked like Primo with cornrows.
Well, you don't know why they're not doing it, because last time they said, oh, this is Carlito's brother. Well, you know, they got stuck in a really bad tag team, so they're probably not going to use...
They were champions.
Yeah, well, still a bad tag team.
In fairness, at the time, there were only two teams, but
yeah. Jomo and Miz.
Then Hunico comes out, and to be honest with you, I mean, is Hunico not just Hernandez or anyone from Mexican America in TNA / Impact Wrestling?
Well, you see, all Mexicans look alike to me.
Oh, wow. No.
Well, they all wear those colorful masks, don't they?
Yes. Yes, they do.
That's what Rey and Sin Cara looks, you know. Mexicans.
Yeah, but even Rey and Sin Cara don't look alike.
But they all wear masks, right?
Not all of them.
You go into Taco
what
Bell.
What kind of idea do you have of it being like in Mexico?
There's Taco Bells everywhere. You know, people mowing your grass. There's only two jobs out there. Mowing grass and Taco Bell, you know, or wrestling. And only the rich get to do wrestling.
Right. I have family in Mexico, so you should stop. I don't really have family in Mexico.
I was going to say.
Please, you should just stop.
Why? Really, what am I doing wrong?
If you want to let Brad know what he's doing wrong, get in contact with us. You can email, tweet, visit the website, Blind Tag Podcast, for more details.
I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. It's just the Mexicans.
Well, you're certainly not doing anything right now.
It's like the Japanese. They all look the same, don't they?
Oh, my God. Are you serious right now?
Oh, yeah. This comes from the man who thinks the Liverpool people speak with phlegm.
Hey, there's a big difference between their stupid accent
and
the way you're talking about other races.
You know, it's English, yeah? You know?
Barely. The way they speak
fair enough,
barely
it's barely
English.
There's just no such thing as English anymore.
You know what I hear? Well, all white people look the same.
I don't know, start that off.
I'm recording right now. All white people look the same. Anyway, here. That is Hunico on the right, a.k.a. Hernandez Jr.
Yeah.
And that on the left is
That's Primo.
Yeah, I'm right though, right? It looks just like it. I'm showing him a picture
right now. That is him though. That is.
But I'm not wrong in saying like he just looks. So, Hunico looks just so generic now. He's lost any form of interesting.
You call me racist? Why do they all dress them up like gangsters? You know,
because it's the WWE.
That's not how they.
This
all
is
look,
the same
though.
Company that's brought us Papa Shango. All right, enough said. Exactly, Papa Shango, Umaga, just the Bushwhackers, the Head Shrinkers.
Simone's all like
come on.
That, though.
Come on. Are you serious? Are you serious? Mexicans, Japanese people, I love you. I, Steve, Russell,
you
love you.
Though, yeah? I love them. I love
Brad
them too.
Brad hates you.
I don't.
Anyway, let's push on. Yeah, but I just think, I'm not sure where this Hunico thing is going to go, because I just think he's lost that edge to his gimmick by being just a simple gangbanger.
Well, you know, he's gangster now, so he can pull out a gun and just kill off Sin Cara.
There's a messy elevated powerbomb that they did onto Sin Cara, like Epico lifted him up in the air, and then Hunico slammed down with a powerbomb. and I couldn't help but comment on, like, what the fuck kind of theme music is this? Hunico's theme music literally sounds like it's from the late 90s, like WCW era 90s.
I mean, might be.
It sounded
they
really
do
bad.
Have the rights to it, don't they?
I'm never, ever going to talk to you or Tim about fucking Mexican wrestling or Hunico or Sin Cara or Yoshitatsu.
I enjoy Lucha Libre and stuff.
I'm not talking about this stuff with you anymore.
Japanese
you guys
wrestling.
Are awful.
We're not awful. We're not.
How are you not awful?
Okay, well, Family Guy has warped my mind. Sorry.
All right, good. So the big show for the main event is in Daniel Bryan's corner against Mark Henry.
Why is that?
Because of the Money in the Bank status.
Right, okay.
That's where it leads. Now, I make a really good point here, if I do say so myself.
Go on in.
That this match between Henry and Daniel Bryan is the perfect opportunity to start building D-Bry as a contender for the belt.
Yes.
Especially after his recent victory against Tyson Kidd last week, and to start steamrolling him towards WrestleMania. Big Show, he gets involved. Obviously, it was inevitable.
Well, it had to be, because what's the point having him there?
Exactly. And he tries to convince D-Bry to cash in his briefcase. D-Bry eventually staggers into the ring because he's like, oh, he's really groggy and shit like that. He gets a World's Strongest Slam for his trouble, so he doesn't even get to cash it in.
Oh, dear.
Big Show then gets in, and Mark Henry gives Big Show a World's Strongest Slam.
Ooh.
But what was interesting about it at the end of the show is if you watch him do it again, it looks like he jars his jaw. Because after coming away, he's holding his jaw. It looks like he's a little bit in discomfort or pain.
Ooh.
And yeah, that pretty much wraps up the show. That wraps up SmackDown, to be honest with you.
Sounds like quite a good SmackDown. I might
it was
go
an enjoyable SmackDown, actually.
You know what? I've never had someone actually tell me the results like this. So go home and watch the SmackDown.
Good. It made you want to watch it, which means I'm doing something right. But yeah, I'll be honest. I actually thought that was a really strong SmackDown, a really good show. Thankfully, the couple of weeks after Vengeance, these shows have been pretty strong compared to the weeks leading into Vengeance, which I hated.
Well, I think the great thing about SmackDown, you've got these guys who are also appearing on Raw as well. You know, so it shows these guys are good enough to work two TV shows.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. I mean, they're working double hard, but it helps with the storylines. It helps with the product.
Yeah.
And like I said, I mean, the Muppet Show was good. The first Raw after, maybe not so much.
Again,
SmackDown for me was a non sequitur because I was hanging big time. But, I mean, this week's worth of shows, at the very least, were very strong, in my opinion.
Let's just hope it builds up to a good Survivor Series.
And with that note, I guess we might as well do the outro, because next time we'll be talking to you guys will be our Survivor Series review show. But before that, it's competition time once again.
Ooh.
And just like last week, we still have a few shirts to give away. Just like before, we will ask you a simple question. We will randomly select the winner, randomly select the t-shirt, and then simply mail it to you.
All fun and games, kids.
And it's all free. All you have to do is fucking answer a simple question. I don't care if you Google it, Wikipedia it, whatever. Just get in contact with us, and you can win free shit. So that's
free
awesome.
Shit, bitches!
So, without any further ado, here's the question. At Survivor Series 2008, The Big Show took on The Undertaker in what type of match? It's nice and simple. Yeah, it's a good one, but it's nice and simple. Questions, answers in on postcards, or failing that, email us at
linetagpodcast@gmail.com.
You can tweet us at
linetagpodcast.
And you can visit our website at
www.linetagpodcast.com.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Great.
We're prepared for that.
So until next time at the Survivor Series Review Show, I'm Steve.
I'm Brad.
Get your smart on. They said it couldn't happen.
What couldn't happen, they said?
In a world where there's only one podcast by Blind Tag once every 2 weeks.
Why don't they do one every week?
People wanted more.
More?
We want more!
Why aren't there more podcasts
by
you guys?
Give me more podcasts, please!
I want to know more wrestling!
I want wrestling every week!
Well, here it is. Because finally, TNA, Ring of Honor, and the rest get a shout-out on The BJ Show. The BJ Show consists of nothing but Brad Nixon's and Joe Ward's opinions and does not reflect that of Steve Russell or Tim Burchill's or Blind Tag Podcasts. The BJ Show officially starts next Sunday, November the 13th, 2011. Tune in, drop out.